This morning it's my great honour to come around and to share the Word of God with you. We have the theme this month. We're reflecting on who Jesus is, His very character, His very being, and we're just looking at the life of Jesus, looking at aspects of Him. And last week Dom shared about how Jesus is 24/7. He's available, He's there. When we need Him, He's there and He's nearby. So He spoke about that. And I want to preach a message this morning that is sort of not going to compliment Dom, but it's going to compliment the aspects of who Jesus is. And I want to take a different look, and I want to look at a different aspect of Jesus. But I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a similar situation as me, and as you read the Bible, do you ever think and look back and say, I never saw that coming? Like, there's times when I read the Bible when I just look at it and I go, I never saw that coming. I never expected that to occur. Many times as I look at the life of Jesus, I say to myself, I never expected that to happen. So the title of my message today is called Out of the Blue. You see, a great Australian statement where it's like, that come out of the blue. That was not expected. It just came out of the blue. You see, I look at the life of Jesus and I feel like He had so many moments that were out of the blue moments. You see, you know the story of the blind man where Jesus spat in the dirt, grabs the dirt, mixes it together, and then picks it up and starts rubbing it in the blind man's eyes. For me, I think that's a little bit out of the blue. I never expected that to actually take place. Well, what about this one? He sees Zacharias up in a tree and Jesus stops and looks up and He says, come down because I'm coming to your house for tea. Like, I wouldn't expect that if I was Zacharias. Imagine Jesus confronting you right now and saying, I'm coming to your house. I mean, I know if that happened to me, I'd be putting Him on delay. I'd be delaying Him. I'd be staying up in that tree. I'd probably get my Apple Watch out. I'd probably give Toner a sneaky phone call and say, Jesus is on His way. Put the Bible on the coffee table. Clean up that rubbish that's over there because Jesus is coming. Make sure the house is neat and tidy. You see, you put the Bible there so it all looks like you're all spiritual and ready to roll. It's out of the blue. For the disciples in the boat, in the midst of a great storm, with the wind blowing and it's roaring and Jesus is talking to them and He's walking on the water. That is an out of the blue moment. You didn't expect that to occur. Maybe in your own life you have had out of the blue moments. I don't know how you respond to those unexpected moments. Like those moments when your teenage son or daughter just simply goes and empties the dishwasher. Well, that's an out of the blue moment. Or maybe ladies, your husbands start to work through that to-do list you've had on the fridge for months. That's an out of the blue moment. Or have you ever gone into a shop and you've noticed something that you really, really like? I know Tone's done this. She's seen a bag or she's seen an item of clothing and she thought, yep, I really, really like that. Then she walks over and she looks at the price tag. That's an out of the blue moment. I do not have the funds to get that. This morning I want to look at three moments in the life of Jesus that I think are just out of the blue. They are unexpected moments. They are moments that have made me stop. Moments that have made me reflect and just be in awe of our Savior Jesus. The first out of the blue moment I want to look at is the manger. In Luke 1 verse 28 it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favoured one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you, woman. That's an out of the blue moment right there. Can you imagine an angel turning up to you as a 14, 15 year old and start declaring this promise over your life? That you are favoured and the Lord is with you. That you are blessed. You know, I'd probably feel 10 feet tall. I could just imagine as this begins to occur, your head would slowly begin to grow. Now, Warnsy down the back, he was saying, yeah, Tone's doing a great job leading, but don't you tell her that. Her probably goes straight to her head. You probably have to get the pinny out. It's sort of a little bit like that. You know, like you'd probably be all pumped up, you know, feeling really, really good. And I could just imagine that would occur to this 14, 15-year-old girl, you'd be feeling like, yeah, I'm it, I'm the one. As an angel showed up and you're feeling blessed, you would be feeling favored. An out of the blue moment, totally unexpected. Then in verse 29 it says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. It all seems really great up until there. We would all love for God to come and say, you are favored, you are blessed, I am with you. They are great words. But the next couple of verses would be quite troubling for anyone, especially anyone who is not married and of teenage age. In verse 31, it says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, that's out of the blue. How can this promise be? How can this actually be? I did not expect this to happen in my life, since I do not know a man. It is a completely unexpected, out of the blue moment for a young girl to be told that she's going to conceive and carry the promise. The promise that has been alive in written form, has been in the heart and minds of men. The very thing that has been spoken about in prophecies would actually come to fruition in a teenage girl who was not married, but rather would be conceived by the Spirit of God, that would usher in his kingdom, and the throne would never, ever end. You see, Jesus was so expected, yet in this story, so unexpected. It's a simply out-of-the-blue moment that he is going to be the Son of God and he's going to occupy a throne, and his throne would have no end. Then if you skip over to another chapter that talks about the birth of Jesus, I would not expect the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to look like how it actually unfolded. Let's have a look at it. Luke 2, starting in verse 4. It says, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of the Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. I can relate to that. Right now, every day, Tone's saying, oh, there's a pain there. Thinking, is this the day? And she brought forth her firstborn son. I'm hoping it's like that. Just brought forth. There's no pain, no nothing. And wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The thing is, Israel had been waiting generations for the long-awaited Messiah. They had a picture of what the Messiah would do and how he would come. And this scene appears to be so unexpected. You see, they were looking for a ruler that would come and bring a revolution, that would re-establish the rights as a people and a nation. But he came out of the blue. He arrived in a manger of all places. There was no room at the inn for him. Like for me, I did not expect that the Savior of the world would be born in a manger. You'd probably expect for the Savior of the world to be birthed in one of the most expensive and extravagant private hospitals. There would be the fanfare that would come with his arrival. There would be this expectation that the Messiah would come and rule. And we got the Messiah, but he did not come in the way we would have expected him to actually come. Because what they got was a baby lying in a manger. It was out of the blue. It can only be God. Like when I think about that scene, I sort of think about one of the princes of England when he had his baby, and they're all coming out of the private hospital, all dulled up. I kind of think like it'd be like that. She looks like she's had no pain. She looks like it's just been so easy. She just gone in and then, this is how I picture it anyway. It's like she's looked along a row of babies and said, I'll take that one. And then she's dolled up her makeup and walked out and said, this is my baby. It's sort of like that. You're the savior of the world. No pain, no fanfare, nothing. So unexpected. I'm sure the people had ordered up a deluxe model Messiah. One that was going to bring a day of reckoning. That was going to bring a revolution. But what they actually received was a savior in seed form. You see, as humanity, we're always wanting the instant result, the quick fix. We want it now, and hear the same thing 2,000 years ago. They wanted an instant savior that would come and bring redemption and turn the world upside down. But they actually got a savior in seed form. Like, how magnificent is God? Like, we received what we did not expect. But the great plan of God was this baby had some growing up to do, just as the people of Israel had some growing up to do. And over 33 years, he began to grow. And a passage I like to reflect on from time to time, in Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You see, humanity had the opportunity to watch the Savior of the world, the Messiah, grow from a baby into a man. As they saw that journey, you see, God put him in human form so humanity could watch this development, could watch him grow, watch how he did relationships. And as he came to the age of 30 and began his actual ministry, his people were drawn to him. As they had seen him grow and mature, he wasn't unknown to them. The gift of God may have been unknown to them, and that was the Son of God, was unknown, but they knew of Jesus in that day. They had seen him grow. They'd seen him develop. And as he began to share, it says that the multitudes followed and listened to him. He would sit down and start to share with them about crops and coins and sheep and about relationships. You see, Jesus came as a baby unexpected, so he could grow into a man that we could relate to. And he shared all of these stories about a lost coin, about a lost sheep. He talked about harvest being ripe. He talked about how you and I live our lives. You see, Jesus grew from a baby to a man to a place where he spoke our language. And this morning, the great news is Jesus still speaks our language. The first out of the blue moment was a baby in a manger. What a masterpiece of God. The second out of the blue moment I want to look at this morning, I've just simply called it the towel. You see, don't you love it when you get great service? Great service is memorable, as is poor service. Never going there again. Going to tell everyone how bad that service was. A couple of weeks ago, I was going over and was going to buy a boat. So I was going in there and looking at all these boats. And I must have looked like this really, really poor person, because I reckon every salesperson would walk past me. It's like I was invisible. And I thought, you're missing out on a sale here, mate, because I'm seriously considering buying a boat. I was invisible. You know, and that's good service is memorable. I've been to places where I'm like, oh, I have to tip because the service is that good. There's been to places where, no, it's not the same. So the second out of the blue moment is the towel. There was this moment where Jesus was having his last meal with his disciples, and they were sitting around the table. And in the book of Luke 22, it says an argument broke out at the table. I'm hoping tomorrow, around your dinner table, there's no arguments. But there's an argument at this table. You see, I have three younger brothers, so I know what it's like for an argument to break out. Well, this argument was over who was going to be the greatest. The same argument that would take place between my brothers and I. There was plenty of punch-ups. Plenty of fighting, plenty of arguments. A few times I do recall Mum saying, take your fight outside. Just go outside and beat the living daylights out of each other. I remember that a few times. And this all occurred right up until my three brothers realised that I was the greatest. From then on, there was no arguments. So an argument broke out about who was going to be the greatest. And even today, arguments still break out about who is going to be the greatest. You see, at different times in our lives, we all want to be the greatest. But for me, I've come to this conclusion. I don't have to be the greatest. I just don't want to be last. I don't have to be the greatest. But man, I don't want to be the last. There's no worse feeling than having to be last. The last picked on the team. The one that's left behind. The one that's got to serve somebody else. But a dispute breaks out around the table, and we read in John 13, starting at verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, and moving to verse 4, it says, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You see, that was an out-of-the-blue moment. That is something that no one expected to occur or to take place. You see, the disciples knew that one of them would have to wash each other's feet. Hence the argument about who was the greatest. But you see, in the moment, it was about who's going to see themselves as the least in order to serve humanity. And he so unexpectedly, it was so out of the blue, Jesus rises from the table and he grabs a towel and a basin and bows down and begins to wash his disciples' feet. I think today God is after you and I to go out and to do out of the blue moments, to do the unexpected. You see, humanity would expect one thing, but we would do the other thing. You see, we won't do the natural thing, but rather we are called to do the supernatural thing. You see, Jesus says these words, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. There is something powerful about putting yourself in a position of being a servant in order to serve others. So Jesus grabs a towel and he redefines greatness. The Messiah of the world, our Savior, our friend would grab a towel at the dinner table and come and wash our feet. Would lay down his life for you and I. That's an out of the blue moment as he grabs the towel. In verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you are washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. You see, that shut Peter up real quick. So Peter gave in, because it says in verse 12, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You see, with a towel, Jesus totally destroyed the pecking order of authority. He didn't flip it upside down, he destroyed it. He takes a towel, he redefines leadership, he redefines greatness. He takes a towel and he rearranges the lines of authority. Today in our life, would you and I take a towel? Whatever it is that God wants to put in your hand to serve humanity. It was an out of the blue moment. As a church, God calls us to do the unexpected. You see, last place is not a position of defeat. Here, last place is a position of influence. Last place is a position where we are strengthened by a supernatural God. No longer is it about our physical strength. Last place changes lives. Last place leaves an impact on people's hearts. And here at this time, Jesus takes a towel and a basin and redefines what greatness looks like. It was totally out of the blue. It was such a God plan. Jesus would come in the form of a baby in a manger. It was such a God plan that at the last meal he would have with his followers, that he would take a towel and redefine what it is to actually be great. The third out of the blue moment I want to look at in scripture, I've simply entitled The Donkey. And in John 12:12, it says, "The next day, a great multitude had come to the feast. When they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" The title over this passage of scripture is Triumphal Entry. Is here the Messiah is coming into Jerusalem. Humanity has never been so excited. I think about it when I first went to the Easter pageant. I think I was in primary school. I was waiting out there. And you go in, they had palm trees, they had donkeys. I just picture that in my mind. And speaking of that, this year we will do the Easter pageant again. So I know they'll want all hands on deck. So think about that in your mind over the next weeks as the Easter pageant amps up. Because I know Dave's all over it. Saw him down the beach not long ago. He was telling me all about it. I'm looking forward to it. Be great. You see, humanity has never been so excited. The Redeemer, the Messiah, the one that is going to change and turn the world upside down, the one that is going to bring this revolution to restore the rights and liberties and freedoms, is now with us. He's coming into the city. Humanity cut down a palm tree. They start waving the branches, crying out, "Hosanna," declaring him king. What a triumphant entry by the Savior of the world. The God plan, the masterpiece. He was going through the moment of development from a baby that was born in a manger. He has shared a last meal with his disciples and washed their feet. And now, in this moment, all hope has come as the Messiah is now being ushered in to establish his throne. Then verse 14 comes, and well, this is out of the blue. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written. You know, like I'm just imagining that, picturing that in my mind. Imagine this, imagine it. Just put yourself there. Jesus is looking around. He finds a young donkey and decides to sit on it. It's like a "are you serious" moment. Like, man, who chooses a young donkey to enter in for this great celebration, for this great triumphant entry that is taking place? For me, this is an epic moment. Jesus should be walking in there, strutting his stuff. There should be explosions behind him. It's like the new king is entering. You know, like I picture it like a boxer entering the ring. All the fanfare, all the hype. He's got his robe on. He's going to throw it off and say, "I'm here." He's strutting his stuff. There's fireworks. Picture it. The king of the world, the Messiah, choosing to enter his homecoming, his return on a baby donkey. I don't know about you, but I don't think kings are designed to ride on donkeys. You know, kings are designed to ride on stallions, beautiful horses. Kings are designed to ride the highest, to ride the strongest, to sit on top. You see, no one rides up beside their king on a better animal. But here, the Savior of the world looks to the side and says, "I choose the baby donkey." I can't imagine what's going through the disciples' minds. This is the moment Jesus says, "Let us go. Let us go and find you an impressive horse." I can just imagine as he's saying, "I'll take that donkey. the disciples would probably say, no, don't even go there. We'll go get a horse for you. This is the biggest moment in your career. The biggest moment to date in your life. And Jesus says, no, I'm good. I'll go and ride the donkey. But not just any kind of donkey. A baby donkey. He's riding into one of the biggest moments in history. And he's doing it on a donkey. That's an out of the blue moment. That's part of the dilemma we have with God, is that God compels us because we know that we need him. But at the same time, he confounds us in that we think we don't actually need him as that. Because we are so convinced that we need a God that rides in on a stallion rather than a God that will ride in on a donkey. We would much rather serve a God and follow a God who rides in on a stallion, because that means you and I would also be given a stallion. But he chooses the out of the blue thing, the unexpected thing. Men, we would all love the Savior of the world to come riding the white horse, bring freedom and liberty and hope, and doing so in power and authority. But Jesus does the unexpected. He does the out of the blue moments. It blows my mind, really, that the Savior of the world would come in on a donkey, and a baby donkey at that. The Savior of the world would be born in a manger as a baby, and at an appointed time, he would rise from the table and grab a towel, and he would bow down at his disciples' feet and start washing them. He did out of the blue moments, and today he continues to do out of the blue moments for you and I. He does the unexpected. It's not what I expect from the Savior of the world. He takes our definition of greatness and he redefines it as humility. In our hearts moving forward, I think that's an incredible key. That what thoughts, pride and ego is in our heart, would we allow God to replace that with a heart of humility? Because a heart of humility changes everything. And if you and I are going to live our lives for God, he says that you and I have to get off our horse and get on our donkey. And that doesn't always sit well with me. I like the horse. But he says, would you do the unexpected, the out of the blue thing, and get on your donkey? You see, he redefines the definition of greatness and changes it to humility. You see, something occurs as we allow this to sink into our heart. It allows us to walk a different path. It allows us to move from a place of fame to a place of service, a place of self-centeredness to a place of service. You see, he actually changes our way of thinking and shifts our way of thinking. And as a result, we start to choose a different path. We choose to go a different way, a way that is reflective of Jesus and the very character of him. The baby, the towel, the donkey. It changes everything for us. It changes our path. It changes the way we actually think and move. For me, the donkey ruins everything. It was prophesied that God would return riding on his donkey. God will always fulfill his promise. The plan of God worked out perfectly. As I read that story, I see a different picture of God. A Savior that would grab a towel, that would not choose a high horse, but a low horse, and he would serve humanity. Because that's who Jesus is. And because that's who Jesus is, that's the very nature and character of God. And because that's who God is, that's who he calls each of us to be. It changes everything to live out of the blue moments. You see, God came not to fight the war we wanted him to fight, but to fight the war we didn't know he would fight. God didn't come to conquer empires. He came to conquer fear. He came to conquer doubt and shame and greed and pride. I'll get the musicians to come up and we'll move into a time of communion. I'm so glad about that. He came to conquer the war that is in each side of us. It's inside each and every one of us. And that war that is inside each and every one of us can only be conquered by a Savior that comes in the form of a baby who at a time would pick up a towel and serve humanity. He would choose to ride a young donkey into his triumphant entry. That war may be raging inside your own heart. The great thing is we have a Savior who came to fight that war. He lived out of the blue moments. And I pray that as we are at the very beginning of this year, my heart is that throughout January, we would reflect on the very nature of Jesus. Reflect on Him. Turn our attention to Him at the start of the year. And as a result, choose to live in such a way to reflect His character to those around us. This year, would you live out of the blue moments? You see, Jesus did unexpected thing after unexpected thing. So much so, you could never guess Him. I tried to imagine what He would do next, but I do know it's going to be out of the blue. It's going to be unexpected. I think about my life. I think about scenarios that have happened in my life where God's shown up so unexpectedly, so out of the blue. And things have shifted, things have changed, things have moved because the Savior of the world has shown up. Maybe He's got an unexpected moment for you this afternoon. The greatest position you can take is the position of a servant. Just to give someone a smile, a word of encouragement. I pray you and I would live out lives living out of the blue moments. I'll tell you one thing I believe. Out of the blue moments are uncomfortable. Out of the blue moments require you to get out of the boat. Out of the blue moments require you to be a little bit scared. Because when you're out of the blue, you've got nothing to fall back onto but the Savior of the world. You rely on Him in your out of your blue moments. Heavenly Father, I thank You that this morning we can reflect on You. We can reflect on Your very character. We can reflect on the person of You. What You lived for. What You showed us through living. The example that You are. We thank You that You lived in such a way that the war that is raging on inside of every mankind, You came to fight. But You've already won it. And You won it on the cross. We thank You that we can reflect upon You. We thank You that You got off Your high horse and You served. And You served us. Encourage us. Equip us. Challenge us to do the same. We praise You this morning, Jesus. Throughout the month of January, would You reveal Yourself? Would You reveal Your character? Would You reveal aspects of Your nature in a new dimension to each of us? We praise You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.